Monday Night Talk on Twitter. Start at 959WATD.com/Monday Night Talk. And don't forget to add hashtag Monday Night Talk to your tweets. And now, more Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
And we're back. And we want to thank Laurie Withrow, who was running for school committee in Scituate, for joining us. She was kind of able to. She was actually going to join us at the tail end of our next guest's segment, but instead, our next guest will go right up to 7 o'clock. And that's how it'll work. We have joining us in studio James Arena DeRosa, and he is running for lieutenant governor on the Democratic side of things. How are you?
I'm doing great, Kevin. Thanks so much. Glad to be here.
Just to go around the room once, just so you know, we have Emily, we have Dennis, we have Joe.
Right.
And so any one of us might ask questions. First and foremost, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure, I'd be happy to, and let me certainly start by wishing everybody listening a happy Memorial Day, especially to our veterans and their families, and especially those families that have somebody overseas. That can be very challenging. So I like to say to people, I'm running for lieutenant governor to be both an advocate for the cities and towns and communities and people of Massachusetts, also to be a liaison, but also to be a partner to who we hope will be the next Democratic governor of Massachusetts. Give you a little bit of bio if you'd like.
Sure.
I'm from Massachusetts, grew up in Walpole, live in Holliston now. Worked at my uncle's gas station, pumping gas through Zavarian, worked my way through Harvard.
Well, you're a Zavarian guy?
I was.
Did you hear that, Dennis?
Uh-oh. What school are we over here, Dennis?
Well, he's not what school, but he's what community? Brockton.
Okay. Well, that's okay.
Some good, football rivalry.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Absolutely. Some great games between.
Continue, please. Sorry.
No worries. And you know, when I talk about my background, I'd like to say that I've got this combination of community common sense, listening to the community. I have leadership roles at Oxfam America and Peace Corps, two great organizations. I actually worked for the Clinton administration before that. Was at Oxfam, where I created an advocacy program, which was taking community issues and putting them in front of policymakers. Our policymakers at Beacon Hill and at Capitol Hill don't listen enough to the community. I'm a big believer in that. Yet at the same time, I ran a $12 billion agency for the federal government. I'm comfortable in the corridors of power. I had to negotiate with governors, testify before committees, worked with municipal leaders throughout the Northeast U.S. So I like to think I have a nice balance in terms of my approach to governing, and will always have that ear out. You know, the lieutenant governor's office to me isn't this place in Boston. It's out among the people, out in the community. I think that's just so important, especially today that we have so many concerns in so many different areas that people have. And I think there's a lot of value. And I do it because I think it's the right thing to do, but I also think we'll get better results if we have our ear to the ground and are connecting at the community level.
Gentlemen, any questions? I don't want to hog the microphone here this evening.
No.
We get a full house here. I want to hear what you guys have to say in regards to, we're going to have more lieutenant governor. He is our first, our first lieutenant governor candidate.
Sure, maybe, and because I'm not even too clear, maybe you can elaborate a little bit on what the role, defined role the lieutenant governor is, because a lot of people don't understand. I have a rough idea, but even still, you know, it's kind of one of those things.
When the governor goes out of state,
it's more than that, Kevin.
You just have to be careful when you're out on the Mass Pike and at 5:30 in the morning. That's it. That's all you got to worry about.
Although Tim Murray did some great things as lieutenant governor.
He absolutely did.
I thought he actually did an excellent job representing communities across the state. But it's a great question, because people wonder what the role is, and it's different from state to state. Mm-hmm. And there are some sort of defined roles, chairing the governor's council and a couple of commissions that you're responsible for. But more than anything is, in concert with the governor, you can be a voice for really important issues that aren't being talked about. And what I like to think about, I like that about the lieutenant governor's office, that it's kind of open-ended. You know, the governor's kind of deal with sort of top of mind today's problems. Somebody in government needs to be thinking long-term, and I'm a big believer in that. Too many times, everything in politics is about the next election. Leadership's about generational responsibility and thinking 5 and 10 and 20 years down the line. So the issues that I'd like to contribute on, I think, build to the future of Massachusetts. And, you know, if we have time, we can talk about them. But, you know, I think we could take two issues that I'm concerned very much about. We could end hunger in Massachusetts and at the same time create thousands of jobs in our Massachusetts economy, build jobs from the ground up, support the fishermen that get screwed by all the rules. You know, small fishermen and small farmers get hurt by a lot of the, you know, the catch limits remind me of some of the things that goes on with small farmers in this state. And we hurt our small business people. They're the ones that are creating lots of jobs. We should be standing with them, supporting them. I have a lot of concerns about corporate practices with the big, huge corporations, but our small business people, we should be working closely with them.
You mentioned as far as ending hunger. How about, this is, I think, a major problem with homelessness in this state, something that our current governor said that he would look to tackle during, you know, his time up on Beacon Hill. And here he is. He's, you know, kind of on the backside of his term, and we still have a growing problem.
We need to do more about it. I mean, and sadly, we spend so much money putting people up temporarily in hotels. Why aren't we putting that money into creating housing, creating jobs, and at the same time giving people permanent places to
live? That's a great question, James. Yeah. Why aren't we?
Well, you know, and let's talk back on the hunger. In Massachusetts, you'd be shocked to learn that Massachusetts ranks 48th in the country for school breakfast, right? Participation. Yet every mom and dad and school nurse and teacher in America would tell you a hungry child can't learn. The money is there. We left $500 million on the table just in the programs that I was responsible at agriculture that were not used in breakfast and other programs. We should be working with communities to make sure they're taking advantage of those dollars that are already, you know, we're always trying to chase new dollars. How about using the ones that are already there as best we can? And also, I think we in government need to be better stewards of our tax dollars. I had to hold the state of Massachusetts accountable for cost overruns, $40 million in cost overruns and inappropriate issuing of benefits. That doesn't serve anybody. We want to make sure that the people who need government benefits get them, but at the same time, we have to be good stewards of our financial resources.
I like your ideas. Let me ask you a question. We had the last lieutenant governor resign. Okay. Now, I've been in politics a long time. I think personally that someone should have replaced him. You know, we need a lieutenant governor, like what you said. When the governor's not around, a spokesman, there's another person out there fighting for the people of Commonwealth of Massachusetts. Then that's a fault of the governor. Maybe the legislature may change it, but I think he could have appointed somebody. Or maybe we could have had an open election to have somebody appointed. It is a very, very important position. People say, Lieutenant, what's the lieutenant governor do? They do a lot of good things for the state, and that's what we need. We need people like yourself. Voice in the community.
I think they're I think the lieutenant is an ambassador for the administration. Where the governor can't be, the lieutenant governor is.
That's right.
You know, and it's the idea of being able to at least stress some of the values of the administration.
And there probably does need to be a process where there would be always somebody in that position. I think that's a good point that we should look at. And
well, you got William Galvin doing it right now.
There's some mechanics around that and how that happens. But I do think it's more. And again, I mean, I've worked with lieutenant governors. They've been very active voices in the Northeast, and you can do a lot in that role. And I think it is an important position for us to have.
I have to ask you. I mean, you have currently there are three other candidates besides yourself. What are the issues that you are facing as a race, or is it you guys can pick and choose what you feel is your strongest area to kind of talk about and go from there?
I think that any candidate wants to put forth their best foot in what they offer. What I try to distinguish myself in is I've got the best executive experience in the field. I mean, I have run a $12 billion agency from at the top. You know, if I had issues with the governor in New England, it was James on the phone with the governor. I wasn't handing the phone to my boss. I think that's important. Also, you know, running huge agencies, 15 senior managers, a number of programs. If you look at the news, sometimes you worry about the paper every day. Massachusetts, if the Democrats have a challenge this fall, it's going to be the way some of the agencies have been run.
Right.
And we've had some challenges over the last several months.
Sure, DCF.
We need to be able to prove to the people that we have
probation department
strong executive leadership in government. What's interesting, though, is I've also served on my town finance committee, you know, and I've worked with state and local government. I understand that really important relationship between local government and the state and the federal government.
Sure.
Because I think it's important as well. I haven't just been in one role. It's been a mix of roles. But I think that's something that I offer.
You said something interesting earlier, how you would like to work with our smaller businesses in order to grow jobs in Massachusetts, something that I think is missing sometimes when we have candidates on here in terms of growing business in Massachusetts. What are some of your ideas in terms of working with those smaller businesses?
Sure, and what you often hear is, I call it bribing. We're going to bribe a company, we're going to give them tech to come over here. What about our businesses here that need help?
Yeah.
And let's take the example, because I've got some experience around food. In-school breakfast, I mean, look at what we could do. I mean, I know we're a little bit away, but we're near the Cranberry Corner. Cranberries in Massachusetts, I worked with the ag department to get it onto the menu so that schools can order dried cranberries, which is very healthy for you. But meanwhile, not enough kids are eating breakfast. Not enough kids are eating. I mean, there are opportunities that are lost. We started doing the math on one small school. It was Brockton, by the way. One small school decided to go. She changed, the principal changed from breakfast before the bell to breakfast after the bell, and they went from 150 a day to 600 breakfasts a day. That means that's thousands of meals being served in that just that one small school alone. That it's going to be better for the kids. They're going to do better in school, and somebody local businesses are making money. They're preparing those meals. They're you know, it's putting people to work.
So there was a Huntington, I believe, right?
There were a couple different schools. Yeah. It's getting expanded. Yeah. Brock's doing some really interesting things, by the way. Valerie Brower is the principal of one of the schools I saw. But there's some good things that are starting to happen. But I'm always one who's going to look at how can we help small business. I mean, the farmers, I happen to marry into a farming family, and some of the rules, you got the Labor Department quoting these rules from 1938 that won't let farmers work with each other.
Mm.
Well, small farmers in Massachusetts aggregate their product all the time. You know, we have all these grand ideas, farm to school, great program that's going to take local products and put them into schools. But meanwhile, for that to happen, the rules have to be flexible so that farmers can work together. I mean, there are just too many. You know, I understand health and safety regulations. Those are important. There's some good things that have been done. But we over-regulate our small businesses, and we need to take a good look at those.
Mm. Other than being someone who is on your town's FinCom, have you ever been elected as a select person, a selectman, or town council or anything like that, or has it strictly just been...
Served on FinCom at the local level, but then my other jobs were all executive positions. I was the regional director for the Peace Corps for the Clinton administration, sent thousands of American volunteers around the world, had a team that worked for me. At Oxfam, it was interesting because I started out, I was there a long time, and I'll try to tell this quickly, but the rhetoric was, why do communities have a hard time developing, whether it's in the United States or around the world? It's because of government policies at the local, national, and international level. That was the rhetoric. I said, well, if we believe that, why aren't we listening to the community and taking what we've learned and putting it in front of policymakers? That was radical at the time. It sounds like common sense, right? It's common sense. Why aren't we doing that? They weren't. There's now been a sea change. That advocacy program is front and center for what that organization does. I was the person who did the Boston Washington Shovel, started a program, built an office. Now it's like a 20-plus person office. But that was a leader. Those were both leadership positions as well. And then was invited by the Obama administration to lead USDA agriculture in the Northeast region.
We brought up something interesting also is the idea of, you know, listening to communities at the local level. One of those issues that I think of most of the time that our communities reach out to the state government for is local aid. I mean, that's probably one of the number one issues that needs to be listened to at a community level that is usually ignored, unfortunately,
that's
at the
correct
state level.
Well, unless you have a big company.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
So what, in terms of local aid, you know, what are some ideas that you have to work with maybe the government? I know it's more of a state and government, you know, governor issue, but he has a lieutenant governor. You know, what are some of the ideas to listen to communities to advocate for local aid?
Yeah, well, it's interesting that the starting point has been that the governor is level funded, which makes it harder for the legislator to push the numbers up. So why not start higher, first of all, if we believe that, and I would certainly support that. You know, there are some interesting things that we could do to encourage development that, again, lead to jobs. The tax structure in most communities is that your commercial tax is taxed the same. We have a proposal. It was actually in the budget last year. And this would be totally up to the community. It's not forced on them. If they so choose, they could say, look, we're going to incent development. So we've got these empty lots or lack of development. It's actually going to be to an advantage for developers and communities to put money into them. Because why? It's going to bring in jobs. It's going to get people to work. It's going to create commercial development. Right now what happens in some communities, it's cheaper for people to just sit and speculate on the land because the land is taxed and at the same rate. So why aren't we incenting positive investment by companies? Those kinds of things we could do. The internet tax, it's interesting. Amazon is voluntarily doing it, but why do we hurt Main Street? If a Main Street person has to collect a tax on something, why shouldn't the big box retailers that ship stuff from all around the world, they should have to pay that tax too? That's supporting our bridges, our roads, the kinds of things that we need to do to help support the economy.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we're speaking with James Arena DeRosa. He is a lieutenant governor candidate. If you you want to kind of follow along at home, he does have a website, JAD2014.com. Did I get that right?
Very good.
Yeah.
Great with the name, by the way. Some people stumble on it.
Yeah. Well, you got lucky. It took me a while to get Dennis's last name, so even though it has the same vowel as mine.
The Paisan, yes.
Yes. Hey, you're kind of surrounded with three guys who got a vowel at the end of their last name.
That's so right.
You're at home here. Being a Democrat and seeing how the lieutenant governor process is, do you look at it and say, you look at what the Republicans are able to do, they can kind of already kind of team up out of the gate, so to speak, but yet you're going to have to wait and see if you're picked and who is going to come out on the other end, whether it's through the convention or September, in September. Give me your thoughts on that.
I kind of like our process that as Democrats, it's open-ended. We allow the convention and then the at the primary, people to pick who they want and mix and match. I'm glad it doesn't cost $1 million to get on the ballot, as the Republicans are doing or apparently we're trying to do. I like the process. I think all of us are concerned that an extraordinary amount of energy goes into the convention, and then it's June, and then all of a sudden you've got 2 months before the primary. So I worry that we're not out in the community as much as we could or should be, because as we all know at this table, elections in November are decided primarily by the people in the middle. Yeah. It's whether or not we can pull enough of them over to our side, and the Republicans are trying the same thing. And that's often how statewide races go, although I'm confident we'll have a strong ticket however it ends up, and we'll all be supporting it. But I kind of like the way it is. And, it's interesting down here in this part of the state. It's probably one of the most important part of the states for the Democrats. Even if we can't win it, we can at least sort of hold the line, if you will, where the Republicans have some inroads, not so much Brockton, but down this way.
It's kind of a Democratic stronghold.
There's a lot
of independence in this area.
There are a huge amount of independence.
But he's right. The South Shore, there are a lot of pockets of...
It's a mix of red.
Yeah, it's absolutely. Yeah. Well, you have
and this is why, the issues that are important. Democrats, like Kamala and others, have been really fighting, whether it's the flood insurance issue or the seawalls. I mean, Democrats have done some really good things here.
We actually have on our little panel here, Joe is our resident expert when it comes to seawalls and the flood insurance, because he actually led a citizen group. He is the chair of a citizen group that kind of was putting forth information where the federal government was kind of going, no, let's do this.
And we work very close with Representative Cantwell, especially on his great efforts to push that
forward.
That's what I
understand. Yeah. And as I understand it, the federal government didn't have the best science. And we want evidence-based. All of us care about flood concerns. I mean, but let's make sure we're using the right information.
Well, they had a one-size-fits-all type of mentality, and they weren't really necessarily looking at some of the data and looking at the topography and what our area was like.
Well, they were using Pacific modeling for Atlantic waves, which is impossible to make work correctly over here.
And then some of the same concerns about where they're getting their information on the fish catch limits, and then you've got these foreign boats coming in. There's huge concerns, so hopefully that'll get resolved over time.
See, I wish we didn't already kind of burn out our Wicked Tuna connection, because we had all the guys from Gloucester, who we've had on here on a regular basis, kind of talking about the show that's ongoing on the Nat Geo channel. But, I mean, we've chatted with them a number of times when they're not out catching tuna, what it's like to try to be a commercial fisherman. And, earn a living, and it's not the easiest thing.
It's very hard work. People romanticize things like fishing and farming, and it's extremely hard work. It's so important for us. And, you know, the other thing about this part of the state, a lot of seniors and senior citizens, my wife runs the senior center in Holliston, and one of the things that's really hard for her to deal with is she's got seniors that sometimes have to choose between whether they buy medicine or buy food. And you know, government's just got to – how can this be happening in this great state of Massachusetts? But it happens. Holliston's a middle-class town. Our food pantry is oversubscribed, not unlike some of the food pantries down this way.
It's everywhere.
Yeah. People don't know that.
No, they don't. There's not one community that has that problem. Yeah. It's everywhere. Mm-hmm. And how do we fix it? I like his ideas. I really do.
But that goes along with, other than that, we also have a drug epidemic that is gripping this state. And I wouldn't doubt if it's, not this, the region itself, the Northeast Corridor, as well as a problem with the economy, jobs. And you said it originally, states having problems with a number of its agencies, too. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, but look at the issue with drugs. And somebody gave me a heads up on this a couple months ago when we were talking. She's involved with addiction treatment. And do you know that they can't even track where the problems are because it's still done on paper and pencil the way the information is sent into the state? Yeah. So they can't even ID the hot take. They're months behind. Now, hopefully they've dealt with this in this recent session, and we'll see what turns out. But we've got to upgrade our systems. This is Massachusetts. I can tell you some horror stories about some things that are going. One of the agencies, the DTA, they first told me, we have this great new way that people can apply online. So people apply online, and then what happens? It went into the office, and then they took it down the hall, and then a state employee would key it into the system. And that's just absurd, but that's because we haven't made the investments in those systems. Those are the stories you don't hear. You only hear about the problems. But what led to those problems and some of the underinvestment and chronic management issues that go back years, we tend to look at the person in charge now and say, look what they did. But we really need to look deeper into some of these problems that we have, and it's going to take us a while to get out of it.
Yeah, we have a few more moments with James Arena DeRosa, Lieutenant Governor candidate. Is there any particular gubernatorial candidate that you fancy, or is it just whoever comes out at the end in September?
I've got a Grossman person next to me, but I'll tell you, I hope you ask them that question when they come. Who do they want for Lieutenant Governor? Okay. No, look, we have a great group of candidates running for governor. I've talked with them all. I like them all. I think I could work with any of them. I think they would say the same thing about all the candidates for Lieutenant Governor. I'd like to think that I add something. I have a very strong background in social services that I think matches well with some of our strongest candidates that are running that tend to have a strong business background, law enforcement. There are some that have some good social services, too. And that's an area where I think Democrats are vulnerable on this social service running agencies. I'd like to put that up against the Republican side in a debate with the lieutenant governor candidate. She ran a big state agency and gave away license plates. I ran a big state agency and made sure that the poor and elderly and out of job workers were getting enough food to eat.
Shots fired.
Yep.
Shots fired.
I hear she also talks about the vowel in her last name, but I have a vowel at the end of both of my last names.
Okay.
So
okay.
Anyway, we don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves.
I will say this, is that if both of you are the chosen after the September primary, would love to have you here on 95.9 WATDU, whether it's Monday Night Talk, whether it's with our fantastic award-winning newsroom that we would love to have, Lieutenant Governor candidates, the gubernatorial candidates, you name it. Anything that we haven't had a chance to talk about that you want to take a moment or two to talk about here and now?
I think that all of us are searching for something different in our government. And what I say to people is, if you want something different, you got to be willing to take on chance on someone who's a little bit different. And I think that my experience is extraordinary and that I'm really connected to the community, but at the same time have led a major agency. But I don't have that typical, what have you been elected to or which office you weren't. It is a different profile. I think that makes me a stronger candidate. I look at what we face, whether it's economic injustice, the jobs, problems with the economy, the way we educate our kids. I'm a big believer in educating the whole child, which will incorporate arts and culture and sports and civics and financial literacy. Let's get them ready to be members of society. I just think I have a lot to offer the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. I think we live in the most extraordinary times, and I am ready to serve, and I am delighted to be here. I will be accessible every single day of my life, And I won't stop fighting for the issues that I care about. So, and thank you. Thank you for having me here. I really appreciate it.
Well, I get a lot of the emails from the different campaigns. So when I saw you had already put together your team, you had a very experienced team behind you, that I jumped on it and reached out to Molly, and that's how we got the ball rolling.
Yeah, we have some great people here on the South Shore, too, as well.
Absolutely. Well, just jump in real quick, because we only have a very short time. When Kevin asked you the question, who could you get along with, when you're running a race, and I'm sure everybody in this room agrees, you focus on your own race. There are great candidates out there, but listen, I'm the guy. Okay? And lots of luck, and I will be seeing you at the convention.
Absolutely.
Joe?
Best way to get in touch with you or your campaign?
I think the best way is through the website, which has been mentioned, which is JAD2014.com. You know, it's interesting with radio. I'm looking at the person talking to me. I should be looking into the microphone. I think that's probably the best way. There's some phone numbers there as well. But if somebody sends us a quick email, we'd be happy to talk with them, connect with them, get them involved. We need help all throughout Massachusetts. We've got some great people everywhere, but we're always looking for more.
JAD2014.com is James' website. James, thank you for coming in. And I'm sure we'll have you on before September again.
That would be great. I would look forward to that. Thank you all.
You got it. We will step aside, and when we come back, we are going to speak with Keiko Oral, State Representative serving the 12th Bristol District. Don't go anywhere.